Hello, everybody, and welcome back to yet another episode of the Gameable Audio, a VGM podcast. I am your host, Christopher Sjönström, and this is episode 28 on the topic of shoot 'em ups. I've handpicked four different games today, and of course, tracks that we're going to listen to and discuss over a little bit on my experience of these games. One of these games I've only been able to view, as I do not own or have not been able to see these firsthand by myself. But yet again, all these games are amazing games that I really want to talk about because they are so, well, kind of unique in their own sense. And when it comes to the topic of shoot 'em ups, this is like a gaming genre that I have like a hate-love situation too. First of all, when it comes to shoot 'em ups, they are usually the ones that can be defined to most people as the bullet hell games, where you have your own little ship or character of any sort and kind. And the enemies are like a massive amount, and they just shoot, so the screen is just filled with these bullets everywhere, hence the name of a bullet hell. Because there are almost just specific paths in some of these games that you need to particularly take in order to survive. And when it comes to shoot 'em ups, there are so many different versions of them. That's why I've been able to take and handpick these four that we're talking about. There are still way more different genres within, like, the shoot 'em ups. I would say subgenres then. And of course, the different thematics of how they do certain shoot 'em ups. I try to have a little bit of, like, difference in between these. That's why I kind of did pick these. But nonetheless, let's not talk generally about this game, so let's actually dive into the first track of the week. The first game we're going to listen a track from is from the game In the Hunt, and this is the last stage, stage 6. Enjoy. There we have it, folks. The first track of the week from one of my favorite shoot 'em ups games, In the Hunt, and this was the track named Stage 6, which is also the last stage of the game. The game sound here, the composer is only known as II, and considering the times that we're living in, trying to search for composer II, well, it's more like AI, it is really hard to find something. I've been trying my very best in order to just try and triangulate names and try to find this composer by name, because I am so utterly sure that I've heard the composer name at some point. But as everybody knows, as we've been talking to a little bit from here and there, at this point in time in Japanese culture, people in credits, they didn't use their original names, and one of these reasons was in order not to get their personnel headhunted by other companies. So they tended to use other names, and of course some of these are more well known than others, and usually when it comes to programmers and so on, there is so much more we can find surrounding them. But when it comes to composers, and especially composers that haven't been using their name as much as a programmer or an artist and so on from games, it is much harder, and especially if they are not active anymore, for example. Anyway, the game here, In the Hunt, was initially released on the arcade back in 1993 and also created by the Japanese studio IRM Software Engineering. The game was ported in 1995 to both PlayStation and Sega Saturn, And here we have a little bit of a specific one. The track that we'll listen to here is actually the arcade version. Also, the arcade version is the most, like, ported version when they actually remade the game for other consoles. In this case, the arcade version was imported to the PlayStation 1. For the Sega Saturn, is another case, because for the Sega Saturn we have actually the two Japanese people, Jun Senoe and Masahiro Ito, but when it considering the soundtrack for In the Hunt for Sega Saturn, it is actually all reworked for this version. So back to the released stages that we have here. So in 1997, the game was also released on PC, not PlayStation. We already said that. And later on, it was also released for Black Knot in 2018, PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch in 2019. And of course, these were digital releases only. And this is also the arcade port of this game. So, considering what I could find in connection to the composer II and also the company IRM, of course this could be a little bit saturated to some extent, but I tried to cross-check as much as possible, because that's usually how we were able to tend to get information in one end. But from what I can see when I cross-check these, the company with the composer, we can only see four games, and starting out with R-Type Leo from 1992, following with Hook in the same year. I hope a lot of people know about this Hook game, maybe not this specific version, but the Hook game that released on so many different consoles, etc. Anyway, the third game we have is Ninja Baseball Batman, and not Batman, literally Batman. So it's a ninja walking around with bats hitting the shit out of it. It's a beat-em-up game. Looked hilarious, in my opinion. That game was released in 1993. And lastly, we have this game, In the Hunt. And all these games were initially released on the arcade. So what is my experience when it comes to In the Hunt? Why do I love this game so much? Well, first of all, in the game In the Hunt, you're not playing like a spaceship or a person or something like that. This is basically a game where you play a submarine. So you're playing this submarine, and the graphics is so much like the Metal Slug series. So a lot of people tend to count this one into some sort of what to say, spin-off almost to it, but it's more like the explosions and the amount of bullets you're firing in order to kill things is the similarity to this game. And of course the graphics are the same roughness as Metal Slug as well. I love the art of Metal Slug, I love the art in The Hunt, but one thing that is problematic within The Hunt in consideration and in comparison to the Metal Slug series, is that when you play two-player mode on this game, I don't know if it is for Saturn though, because they might have done more changes to this, and I haven't actually played this game on an original arcade machine, but all the ports that I played for In the Hunt, when you play two players, it always has frame drops, so it is a huge problem playing this game, because it feels so unoptimized for what it's trying to be. So you have like explosions and bullets flying literally everywhere, but at the same time you also have so many sprites, etc. on there that the performance is actually just lowered, and depending on the different boss battles and so on, you might have more or less frame drops in this. So considering that you can play In the Hunt in slow motion to some extent, like a Max Payne game, not that you have a control, like you can literally push a button in order to get the slow motion time, but due to the fact that it is so many bullets at the same time in this, the slowdowns kind of makes it more easy, even though it's still hard. But it is problematic and frustrating when it actually does get these slowdowns. And also one thing that I really do enjoy about In the Hunt is also music. The music is absolutely amazing. Considering this, just In the Hunt is one of my favorite games on the PlayStation. And I just love it because it is so much fun to play, and especially playing it with a friend because it's just full chaoticism. For me, I usually tend to refer this as playing like a Contra game back in the day because I played Contra 3 so much. And when you're playing in the hunt, it's, I would say, it's more chaotic. It's like Contra 2.0 to some extent. And one thing I really do and love and enjoy in the hunt, you can still get the power-ups and so on in order to get other patterns of weapons, different weapons and so on. But you also have this battle not just underwater. You can also be above water or with water level. And when you are, you can actually fire missiles and so on to hit enemies that are walking upside, like infantry and tanks standing on bridges, and also not planes, I think it's helicopters, if I remember correctly now. No planes, not that I remember, at least. So you still have that like land battle style, even though you are not on land to an extent or any form. But at the same time, you also have this battle going on underwater, where you have torpedoes and you can make floating mines and so on. And it's so great to have these kind of different mechanics to the game. And in one of the levels, you actually have to shoot your way through buildings that have collapsed into the water as well, which is also fun and exciting because it's nothing you've really seen before, at least. But at the same time, well, how many games do you know that you play like a bullet torpedo frenzied submarine fighting off super many hordes? I'm not going to define a horde as many and then define we have many hordes instead. Because it's not just a horde game per se, like we do see in these games. No, but I this is one of my top ones. This is also why I kind of wanted to start out with this track, but it's time to go into the second track of the week. This is a game, Death Smiles, and the track name is called Fury of the Gravekeepers. Fury of the Gravekeepers. This was from the game Death Smiles, and well, I kind of had to stop it right there. First of all, the reason why I kind of feel like I wanted to stop it there is it feels like there's this endless kind of drop coming in, and then it just starts over and over again. A bit frustrating to me when I'm listening to this, isolating this experience, but playing this track within the game is such an amazing track to listen to. And when it comes to this amazing song, but also, of course, with the full OST here, it was composed by the Japanese Manabu Namiki. And the game was created by the Japanese studio Cave, which a lot of people might know about. And the reason for this, and for people who doesn't know this, the reason for this is because they usually tend to make shooters, shoot 'em ups, etc. So usually when people are talking about Cave, they usually refer to these games as Cave shooters specifically. And the game here, it was released initially on arcade back in 2007. The game were also ported to the following platforms: Xbox 360 in 2009, This is the version actually I own and I actually love and adore. There is a second game for this as well, Death Spirals 2. We have it for iPhone in 2011, Android in 2013, and it actually released on PC back in 2016. Lastly, it was also released on iPad in 2019. Considering the composer here, Manabu has actually worked on a whole lot of audio work and compositions for a lot of games, and also for a long time. And one thing that is super interesting to keep in mind, he is still active. Starting out in 1993 with the game Thunder Dragon 2, he had worked on a lot of different run-and-gun games or bullet hell games, which is also very much fun to see. Like, hey, this dude seems to have his own thing working, and definitely when we're listening to the track of Fury of the Gravekeepers, well, I can definitely say that this is exactly the type of music I usually tend to expect having like a bullet hell experience. Anyway, let's move on. One thing to keep in mind here when we're talking about this as well is that it also did work on a whole other genres. Of course, I'm going to focus a little bit more on these other genres in order to show a little bit more of verticality from this composer, but at the same time, there are some shooters, it is impossible to avoid, okay? But anyway, for example, we can start out with the Bloody Roar game, and he worked on both the first and the second game, which were referrally released in 1997 and 1998. These games are absolutely amazing fighting games where you can transform into animals, so you're human beings transforming into bunnies and so on, and I just loved and adored that game. It was so weird at the time, and when my friend actually got the first Bloody Roar game, it felt new and refreshing comparing to the other games we were able to play, like Street Fighter, Tekken, and also played a lot of Mortal Kombat back in the day. After this, we have Dondonpachi Dai Ojo from 2002, Espaluda 2 in 2005. We also have, since I was talking about the game series before, we have Metal Slug 6 in 2006. Well, that was also interesting. 2006 game in 2006. We have Gradius Rebirth in 2009. Kokuga in 2012. Yakuza The Song of Life in 2016. And lastly, his latest game was released. Was Dondonpachi Dai o Yo Rin Tensei, which released on the Switch in 2023. Sorry. These were also only a handful of titles that I picked, some that I remember or know of, and some other games that I thought was, hey, we need to just take a look at these and say the different words that he did. But anyway, in total, Manabu has 103 credits over a total of 68 games. Credits in this case is including different version, but also re-releases that he has been on. So do keep in mind that some the amount of credits could be for different roles as well, but most of these that when I looked through were for similar games that only re-released or had different versions. So he's credited, for example, for like, let's say Bloody Roar was released on PC as well, then he's credited on both PlayStation and PC, just so you are aware. No, when it comes to Death Smiles, in Death Smiles you're basically playing witches, and specifically the game I can talk about is the 360 one, has multiple versions also included. If I remember correctly, it's three or four different versions in this, where you have the original arcade version, then you have the Black Edition in two different versions, if I remember correctly, and these are a little bit changed levels, but also a little bit changed in the difficulty. So it's a small little remaster of some sort or some kind. So they did rework a little bit on it, and then just. There's just like similarities to different characters, but also the graphic parts in a version of the Black Edition as well. And then on the last edition, I don't remember if it was. Maybe it was only three. But in the beginning, there's like a wheel that where you can choose which one you want to play if you want to play the original one. But Death Smiles, as I said, is a shoot 'em up game, and you play witches in this. And you also have a little partner with you that is utilized in order to try and block, because in this game, you will not only be able to avoid the bullet hell, you actually need to be actively blocking these bullets as well. So you have like a small fairy, for example, that joins you in battle. These will of course be like in the older games where you have so-called options. These options were able to add different kind of like units that followed you around and shot as well. So it is similar to that one. So these fairies also have powers and structures on how to fight. And depending on which witch you go with, you have a pattern on the main character, you have a pattern on this extra fairy, and together with those, you will try to get through these levels alive. And the art in this is this like platform, 2D flying around platform, but you have 3D objects, so all the enemies and bosses and so on are in 3D, while the style of the maps are more in like a 3D style 2D world. I would say that the graphics rubs me a little bit in the wrong way, but it is a lot of things that happens when you play this game. It is chaotic, but it is also very fun. So when you in the beginning, it will just be too much. This is a huge trial and error type of game where you need to play through in so many levels and forms. But still, you have unlimited credits in this game and continue, so feel free to just credit your way through the game. You will still be able to complete the game, and you will die a lot. I died so many times in this game, but I'm still having a really good time, because when you do set these really nice, like, pixel-perfect moments, even though it just happened to be pure luck, you're still enjoying the game. So, and considering this full track, as I said, just this track is absolutely amazing, but all these other tracks are also freaking amazing. Considering what I said within The Hunt, that type of style that we have there, Death Smiles soundtrack, it has a lot of similarities, which is why I kind of love and adore and can just listen to this soundtrack by itself. But considering the graphics, that rubs me a little bit in the wrong way, I would say this, for me, goes into a more mediocre type of phase, because graphics is such a large part of the game, and readability is a large part of these type of games. So considering readability on Death Smiles, it's a little bit harder, but I know a lot of people do love this game. And of course, I'm not going to take that away from anybody. I'm just saying my own opinion here, and saying that for people that do like and enjoy games, I'm almost said the Swedish word, then, of course, you can just enjoy this game on a mediocre level just as I did. I still had fun. I still had picked up this game and played it from time to time. If I remember correctly, yes, you can play two players on Death Smiles as well. And these are simultaneously, so you will work together just like in The Hunt. And yeah, it doesn't have any other specifics that are unique to this game. This is more of this classic cave shooter genre, where you just need to avoid and enjoy shooting the shit out of bosses. So yeah, that is it for this game. Let's move on to the next one. The next one I have not personally played myself. I am very interested in trying this game one day, and I heard so much good about it. But not least, the music for this game is just an absolute beast. The game I am talking about is Ikaruga. And the track we're going to listen to is the stage boss number one, Butsutekai is the name of it. So let's enjoy this one together. That was the amazing track from Ikaruga, Stage Boss Number 1, Butsu Tekai. And the soundtrack here is created by the Japanese Hiroshi Iuchi. The game, it was developed by the Japanese studio Treasure and was released first all on arcade. And this was back in 2001. In the next year, it was ported to the Dreamcast, following the next year on the GameCube. And in 2008, the game was also released on Xbox 360. Following the Xbox, we have Android Fire OS, which was released in 2013. We had a PC release back in 2014 and an Xbox One release in 2015. Lastly, and the last release of Ikaruga that we had have been in 2018, where it was released on PS4 and the Nintendo Switch. And considering my experience with Ikaruga, as I said before, I have not played this game myself. I am well aware of all the different mechanics they have in this game, and the game looks absolutely amazing when I'm looking at gameplay footage on this game. But yeah, just to say a little bit of what's going on when it comes to the shoot 'em up of Ikaruga. So considering what we had with In the Hunt and Desmos, we had more of a story-based style type of game. Here, yet again, we have a story type based game, but instead of going from left to right like we do in The Hunt and Death Smiles, and of course there are some exceptions, especially in The Hunt, where you actually have some sections that goes up and down as well, but you're still kind of following like a corridor. But in Ikaruga, we're having a ship that basically fires upwards instead, and you have this more standstill point of view. You of course will try like move forward and have a feeling that you're moving forward, but overall you will have these giant boss battle stages that are more intense than like in any of the other, in my opinion. So the unique selling point that they had in Ikaruga, which is quite unique for the game, is the fact that you can switch your vehicle. You will basically switch between the colors of black and white, and by utilizing the black and white sections of the game, you will have certain powers and everything that when you're black, you can damage certain things. You can also absorb the bullet. So instead of having this like set out path that you can see in either Death Smiles or in The Hunt, you basically have sometimes from time to time walls of bullets that you need to kind of protect yourself and absorb them into your ship by switching from black to white. So black shots or black material forces, you will need to have the black ship. So switching to black ship, you can absorb these instead and utilize them as a strength. And then, of course, you will go back and forth between these, and this will create the unique experience of what Ikaruga provides for you. So I really love and adore the aesthetics of Ikaruga. It looks really good. So I think If I just think about Ikaruga, I think this is one of the better shoot 'em up games that I can think of. Of course, I haven't played it, but just by looking at it, it feels so impressive, is the word I'm looking for. Now, I really, every time I heard people talk about it, everybody talks well about Ikaruga, and everybody knows who has played a Treasure game previously knows that Treasure games are also very high quality in mind when you're looking at gameplay and mechanics within these games. So I don't think this is an exception of any sort or kind. Still a very popular game for people who do and love and adore shoot 'em up games. So I think this is like this one like high level type of style game. So if you're looking for a more expensive but a more quality type of game within the shoot 'em up genre, I definitely think Ikaruga is one of the highest ones. But don't take my word for it. Do research everything as I'm telling it, because since I haven't played it myself, it's hard for me to recommend something. But if this is something that does interest you, I highly recommend you to check it out more to see if this actually could be something for you. Other than that, I mean, I hope you enjoyed the track as much as I did, because I totally enjoyed this one. Returning back to the composer now, Hiroshi is actually a very interesting individual, as he has not only worked within music, well, that's kind of a, well, you'll see soon. But Anyway, when it comes to Hiroshi, he actually has worked on art and graphics, writing, design, and production. Where, of course, we find multiple positions in these projects, well, often. Hiroshi is actually has a credit list of 57 credits over 17 games. And this is, of course, due to the fact that he has worked on multiple positions. However, one thing to keep in mind, Ikaruga is the only game he has worked with the music on. But considering with Ikaruga as well, he worked on art and graphics, he worked on design for this game as well. So this is why we can see so many different credits on such a low amount of games. I mean, considering that there hasn't been many versions of the games that he has worked on in the form of ports and so on. So most of these credits are due to the fact that he has multiple positions on this. And this is super interesting to see. But considering what we hear here on Ikaruga, I definitely think we're missing out on the amazing work that Hiroshi can do. Anyway, even considering this, the games that we do have on him and the games that he has worked on, some of these, in the beginning, he worked as a pop visual futurist for Quarth. He worked on Bucky O'Hare as a main character designer, Radiant Silvergun, which is also a shoot 'em up game. He worked as a director on Gradius V. He worked as game and planning and direction on Gunstar Heroes for the Wii. He worked on background and art. So we can see multiple kind of positions and so on, and it's just super interesting to see. This was just a handful, so if you're more interested to see the different kind of work he has worked on, then definitely check it out. But considering on music, this was the only game he worked on. And of course, in my opinion, it's a bit sad, but yeah, it is what it is. Now it's time to head over to the last track of the week. And this is actually a game I am currently playing on my phone. So I don't know what you guys think, but let's enjoy the track Skies of Chaos from the game with the same name, Skies of Chaos. This is not the typical track you usually tend to hear. I mean, considering and comparing to the latest tracks that we listen to, this is a very unique sense of style when you're listening to. This was the Skies of Chaos from the game with the same name, Skies of Chaos. And the OST here was fully composed and created by the Canadian Sam Webster. The game here was developed by the British studio Brox Corp, and the game was released on mobile iOS and Android in 2022. And this was happening through the publisher Netflix. And yeah, this is also a game that I picked up through Netflix, of course. So now that ever since I do have a subscription on Netflix to watch series and so on, I do tend to pick up games from time to time. Usually tend not to look at trailers or anything. I like to just jump in blind on these ones. And Skies of Chaos was definitely one of these games. I just saw the picture of the game, read just a little bit that it's going to be some sort of shoot 'em up. Definitely just wanted to try it out because playing shoot 'em ups on a phone, readability on a screen is like 101. I mean, it's definitely needed in order to plan your path and make up what you really need to do. And of course, the same goes for Skies of Chaos. This is more of a smaller bite size, but still very chaotic. I wouldn't say it goes to the part of being like a true bullet hell. Of course, some missions and levels in this game does that. But this is more or less like a Mario-styled, pretty long game, actually. where you play like multiple levels, get some story and so on. You get, you unlock upgrades such as new planes, new weapons, and the planes themselves has levels up, levels that you can get. So you, every time you complete the level, you get resources. These resources you can utilize in order to upgrade your mechanic, your chip, your weapons, your shield, your special with bombs and so on, or power, like superpower, I would say. It's shown as a bomb, but it could be a laser, like a bomb, like a nuclear bomb and so on. So there, everything is just iconed as a small bomb. No, but in this game, you don't have, like, the pure perfection, like a small pixel that you need to take care of. You still have HP and so on. So it's not a one hit, one kill type of thing. But it's still very fun to play. Of course, I like to play this more bite-sized, like smaller sessions from time to time. Maybe just one or two levels at once. But never for a longer period of time. It's not really frustrating me, but the thing is, it doesn't really do much to me either. So I think it's just a great game to play on a mobile phone, and since if you already have Netflix, it's like quite a nice, neat way to play. One thing I don't like about Skies of Chaos is the way that you can flick your fingers from, or swipe them from side to side by flicking them. This is utilized so you can actually dash a little bit with your planes, and this is also very utilized in this game, but it's not precise, so it is a large problem having this in the design. So considering that some of these levels are more of a run-and-gun type of style, where you're not really, you're running, but you're not gunning that much. So it's more a maze that you need to kind of provide and get through. These does not happen a lot, but these are really frustrating. And the reason for this is because some of these sections are kind of made to utilize this dash functionality, or I would just call it dash. It's actually the best kind of understanding for it. And while utilizing this, you can actually, like, mistakenly press these power-up buttons because it doesn't really react to you pressing the button itself. You can actually slide into it and still utilize it, or something is wrong with my finger and I actually like lift it up and accidentally press it. I don't know, but it's super super frustrating. It can be utilizing a shield or something like that when you just want to dash away, and still you will hit a lot of walls, etc. But anyway, one thing that I want to point out with this game is the uniqueness in soundtrack. As you hear this behind my voice right now, you have this kind of more lo-fi kind of style that almost feels like, are we enjoying some time at the beach or something like that? It feels indie to some extent. And this is like the full soundtrack. Even the boss battles has the same kind of vibe. They're not doing anything on what we heard with the other stage and boss battles that we've been listening to date. So the uniqueness in this soundtrack is that it really doesn't sound like anything else, and that's what makes it so good in my opinion. It's not my favorite type of music, but I really do enjoy this while playing the game. Of course, you can still hear a lot of bullets flying, etc., so it kind of goes down a little bit on the music wise, but you can definitely just turn the sound effects off and just enjoy the music in this game. So it's easy to isolate that and just get that feeling. Considering that the composer here, Sam, is quite new within composing music for video games. I mean, considering that late in 2019 he made his first debut with the game Grindstone by Capybara. Sam himself stated in an interview in 2021 that he has never made music for any more than a hobby. And to date, he has only worked on two more games, Skies of Chaos being his latest work, and the second game he worked on is Reigns Beyond, which was released in 2020. So, considering Sam is quite new in this, he only worked on music as a hobby, of course it's gonna be super interesting to see where he goes next. Because he has worked on music for Netflix-related titles, so I definitely don't think this is the last thing we heard from Sam Webster. So it's gonna be interesting to see what he does next. Interesting to see. We'll see where this goes. So there's not much more for me to add on Sam Webster. If Sam is listening in on this, since you're such a new guy within this for some reason, thank you so much for bringing this awesome music you did from Skies of Chaos. With that said, it is time to log out from my share here and close down the episode for this week. Yeah, other episodes of Gameable Audio, you can find those on our homepage at videospelsklubben.se. You can find it also on Spotify or in your closest podcast app. Feel free to comment or just follow our social medias as well, either on Facebook or on Instagram. Just search for Gameable Audio and you'll find us there. Don't forget to do any comments like reviews or giving the episode stars, etc. Give Spotify a follow. That helps a lot for other people to find this without you actively notifying friends and families like, hey, you should listen to this podcast. It's pretty good. Got pretty good music and so on. And Chris is a funny guy. Anyway, you can also support this podcast for future content upgrades, but also quality upgrades. But in the end, as I do not need more money than if you feel like you want to give, think of this as more of a fund, as we're going to focus on future composers and giving them money in the end when I don't need anything else. So think about becoming a Patreon backer. Our current awesome backers that we do have today is Daniel Lundemark, Lars Schönström, Titti Schönström, Kevin Wikström and Mike Björkholm. Thank you so much for being part and supporting this podcast. It means a lot to me to know that, well, I'm doing something good at least. People are supporting this, so I'm honored. I'm definitely honored, and I can't really express my love for all the things that you want to support me financially for this. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Links where you can either buy or support the composers behind the music that we listen to today, you will find those and our main post at videospelsklubben.se. And for the next episode, I was drawn a little bit. Should we go for another episode with a genre or no? Or should we go straight into a different game? I've been playing Slay the Spire lately, and I think the music there is special, and I want to talk more about that. Sadly, I have not get in contact with the composer or anything, so I will be talking about this game myself. But yeah, I will focus a full episode on the game Slay the Spire that I know a lot of people out there love and adore. And with that said, the podcast theme music was composed by the amazing Thor Myrdal. This was episode 28, where we talked about shoot 'em up games. I am your host, Kristoffer Schönström, and with that said, have a nice week, and see you all guys next time!